Hello, my name is Logan. You are listening to the Logan Parham Show on Hawk Radio. Coming up, we have Anime of the Week, College Life Stories, Motivational Advice for the Next Hour. That right there was one of my favorite lo-fi tracks. You are listening to the Logan Parham Show on Hawk Radio, the official Hillsborough County College in Tampa, Florida. For Anime of the Week, we have not an anime, but a studio created by Studio Gilby. So we have the website right here for Studio Gilby. And when you first open our website, you see they're going to ask you to join the mailing list for the anime fans out there. So they have a shop, I guess, like a filmography. Let's see what this is. So apparently you can get more information on the different films that the company Studio Gilby has done. In return, they give information. For example, I don't know. Let's see which one I can. Castle in the Sky. Let's do this for example. They have an about section, bonus features, and reviews. Castle in the Sky is the film one of the films we're going to be discussing on this website that I have found. It's a stunning, a masterpiece in action filmmaking. Leonard Maltin, as a quote. Castle in the Sky is a timeless story of courage, friendship, with stunning animation from acclaimed Academy Award-winning director Hayao Miyazaki. This high-flying adventure begins with Pazu, an engineer's apprentice, spies a young girl, Shita, floating down from the sky. Held aloft by the growing pendant, both Shita and Pazu are searching for the legendary floating castle, Laputa, and they vow to travel there together to unravel the mystery of the luminous crystal, but the quest won't be easy. As soon as they're pursued by greedy air pirates, the military, and the secret government agents, who all seek the power of Shita alone can control. Castle in the Sky was nominated in 2002. Wait. No, actually, another film, Spirited Away, was nominated in 2002 as Best Animated Features. And if you can keep going down the list of the things on this website, where this famous, I'm going to say, like, extremely famous Studio Gilby, this anime studio. And this anime studio has created many amazing works over the years, including My Neighbor Totoro. And I haven't watched any of these, but I plan on watching every single one because each of these look like masterpieces, and I know from the bottom of my heart, and I know from theirs, they put a lot of time and effort in, and they have really done an outstanding job on the animation side of things. And I can't wait to see what stories that they told. So moving on from the filmography on the website. So you have another section of the website called In Theaters. I guess they have like a, let's see. Yeah, like a Studio Gilby Fest. Put it up a bit. They have like a Studio Gilby Fest, which means like for decades, Studio Gilby has breathtakingly beautiful movies that have captivated and inspired audiences for generations through masterful storytelling and stunning visuals. Join G-Kids and Fathom Events for the annual Studio Gilby Fest to experience the wonder of these groundbreaking, beloved animated films. I guess they have a festival. It's probably in Japan. Okay, here we go. They got another website for the Studio Gilby Fest. The limited series. Let's see. So it looks like in this events for the series, they're going to have the different stuff that Studio Gilby has made throughout its existence. And it's 20 Fathom, the website is 20 Fathom, for those that are wondering where you can find this. Now, you might be wondering, well, every website has like an about section, and they actually do. So on the part of the website that says about Studio Ghibli. Studio Ghibli is one of the most acclaimed and influential anime studios in the world, inspiring filmmakers and audiences alike over the last 30 years with beloved stories and breathtaking visuals. Under the brilliance of visionary animation directors Hayao Miyazaki and Hayao Miyazaki and Isao Takahata. I hope I said that right. And producer Toshio Suzuki. The studio films are known for timeless classics, just as My Neighbor Totoro, Kiki's Delivery Service, and Ponyo, and have won countless international awards, including an Academy for Best Animated Feature for Spirited Away and The Boy and the Heron, as well as 5 additional Oscar nominations for Howling Moving Castle, The Wind Rises, The Tale of the Princess Kaguya, When Marnie Was There. When Marnie Was There and The Red Turtle. Director and studio co-founder Hayao Miyazaki was separately given an honorary award at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Governors Awards in 2014. And the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures paid tribute to his artwork with a special exhibit when the museum opened in 2021. I guess they have a museum. Do they actually have a museum? Let's see. What is the Academy? So it looks like there's a museum for motion pictures. Might go in a rabbit hole this podcast episode. Let's see. See what this museum is. Apparently it's a real place. Let's see what it's about. The architecture looks good. Let's see. They have a website as well. So let me see what they're about. Let's see. So they have different expeditions, stories of cinema, director's inspiration, the art of movie making, The Godfather. Gotta put some film series on the website. Let's see if they have like. Okay, so apparently the museum that features Studio Ghibli is based off of Los Angeles. There is on the website of the museum. They have a contact, a phone number. Apparently, it's open 6 days a week, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. They close on Tuesdays. They have different programs and. They also have a podcast, apparently. And other things. They have the Academy Museum podcast, Academy Awards, History, and Timeline. It looks like a good, look, just a pretty good website. See some reviews. So, looks like it's got some mixed reviews on TripAdvisor. Moving on. So, my take on Studio Ghibli without watching them. And my opinion is going to change as I watch them. First of all, the art. I go back to the filmography section on the website. The art, I mean, it had to take them a lot of effort to be able to animate all these movies. Yeah, when you look at Grave of Fireflies, when you look at a website, they have a thumbnail. We'll just call it a thumbnail in this case. Like a thumbnail, like the picture that goes right before you start watching a video. So, Grave of Fireflies, 1988, it's 89 minutes. When you look at how they animated, even the dark and the light, I guess it's like a fireplace or sitting. In front of, not 100 on that. However, when you look at even just still images of Studio Ghibli, you have to realize that these people are actually, like, are pretty talented. Now, I don't know about the storytelling. That's why I'm going to watch all of them. I want to learn more about this animation studio. And I really want to be able to basically, you know, like, since I'm a filmmaker, I want to be able to look at these films, look at it from a constructive criticism kind of perspective, and be able to look at these and say, okay, how can I not repeat the same mistakes they made so I can improve myself to avoid some mistakes that other people made? That's why I always look at stuff like this. So I'm not sure which one I'll watch first. Probably, if I had to pick between two or three, probably my neighbor Totoro would be a good one to start watching first. Get a good feel. Looks like a nice kind of story. Grave of Fireflies, I heard it was amazing. I heard some stuff about it. They also have on the website, you can buy the Blu-rays, DVDs of these movies. So like Castle in the Sky, Kiki's Delivery Service, a few I mentioned, My Neighbor Totoro. You could actually like buy, let me see, for example, My Neighbor Totoro, let's see, I'll tell you what the price of that one. So apparently, if you get the Blu-rays, so the Steelbook version of the Blu-ray DVD is $26.96. However, the Blu-ray itself, oh, it's actually on sale right now. Okay. It's originally $29.95, but right now it's $16.96. DVD is also on sales. DVD originally was $19.96. Right now it's $11.99. It's pretty interesting how you can buy this stuff on the official websites. I don't see this often. Disc information. You've got disc information. Yeah, let's look at this. So they got like, they can tell on the, when you, on the item itself, on the about section, one of the most beloved all family films. Yeah, the credits here. Disc information, just run time and the rating and closed caption and what language. It's nice. Then below you got the related products of also there. They also got a contact us page, apparently. So you, if you have any questions for this company, you can contact them. The customer service is available Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time. Looks like if you have any like problems with their products, you have to put like an order number, your email, etc. Let's see what else they got on this website. FAQs, apparently, like questions that are often asked. General, how do I contact customer service? Just said that. How do you create an account on your site? To create an account, you go to, okay, reasonable. How do I place? I just placed an order. Can I do it? Okay, I think I pretty much said what I needed to say about this website. So on the main page of the website, we're going to wrap this up, part of the topic. But on the main part of the website, you... Okay, apparently they got a 22-film Blu-ray collection. Let's see what that's about. So, yeah, that's also on sale. I guess it's because it's getting that time where people are going to get the holidays. Right now it's on sale from $636.05 to $300. I'll tell you one thing, I'd rather pay $300 for this than $636. That's kind of crazy. However, I guess it's just not their finest hour when pricing, but hey. But overall, like, Studio Ghibli, to me, it looks like something I'm going to be invested into when I start watching this stuff. And I hope I'm correct. Coming right up after the lo-fi music break, we have College Life Updates, where you can get a sneak peek of what's happening. This is the Logan Parham Show, coming to you from Hawk Radio. the official radio station for Hillsborough Community College in Tampa, Florida.
So it...
So we are back, and now we are going to discuss college life updates, what I've been noticing around the campus. Obviously, I've been noticing chickens. But nah, seriously, I've been doing better. I've recently had to leave a club. I'm not going to name names, however. I wish them goodbye. I handle it professionally, and I just wanted to just tell y'all that about, I just want to give a little spiel about, I guess this goes in the, when we're going to talk about when motivation. However, I want to also discuss this before I even get to the motivational stuff. Please, when you're in college, do not overextend yourself. Know when you're at your limit and be careful when you push beyond your limit. When you handle too many stuff at once, you are destined to collapse when you don't have a good organizational system to handle the extra workload. Now, I know a lot of people are like, well, we know that. Well, people that even know that, they sometimes make mistakes and they do that anyways. I'm just giving a little piece of advice for college students because it is the middle of the first semester. I'm a college freshman myself on this, or should I say on our podcast together, discussing and having a blast and having a good time while listening to each other through the airwaves. So I wanted to discuss on the next one. So on the next, yeah. Coming right up after the music break, we have motivational advice happening for the rest of the hour. This is the Luke and Parham Show coming to you live from Hawk Radio, the official radio station at Hillsborough County Community College in Tampa, Florida. Thank you. So, I am back with, I guess you could say, like last time, another video from a person. It ain't me this time, I will give you that. However, this person is, and I'm not going to get into the politics or anything about this person. I just want people to listen to what this person has to say and what my opinion on what he says. And I'll give you my opinion on what he says, and y'all can think about what he says. And regardless of politics, Vivek Ramaswamy is on record one of the smartest people I've seen in politics. He's a great debate person. Me personally, I don't have enough experience and social skills yet. That's like above advanced. That's like beyond mastery. However, the way this man debates is extraordinary. Regardless of politics, regardless of this and that, I wanted to share some advice on what he says here and what my take is. Wait a minute. I gotta start the video.
You're entering your adulthood, I believe, at a truly special moment in American history. I believe deep in my heart that it's actually going to be your generation that saves our country, but it wouldn't be the first time that that actually happened. That dates all the way back to 1776. I'm talking about our founding fathers, who were not much older than most of you in the audience today when they founded our nation. And though I'm talking about our founding fathers, I'll actually start with a quote often attributed to the founder of Dubai. It goes like this. My father rode a camel. I ride a Mercedes. My son rides a Land Rover. My grandson is going to ride a Land Rover. But my great-grandson is going to have to ride a camel again. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. He was the founder of Dubai, but he might as well have been talking to modern America and our own generation. When our nation was born in 1776, we were a nation of underdogs. We were a nation of insurgents. Our founding fathers stood up to the most powerful empire in the world, declared their independence, and then somehow turned assertion into reality. They were a band of rebels who defeated a reigning incumbent of their era, an incumbent that went on to become just another small nation on the other side of an ocean. But eventually, the insurgent becomes the incumbent. The underdog becomes the favorite. And then the new incumbent starts to apologize for its own success instead of working even harder to create even more of it. And eventually, that incumbent is then unseated by a new insurgent born on the other side of a different ocean.
If you're not...
So, I wanted to basically analyze his speech, what it means. I want to break it down a little bit. I want to give my perspective on it. Some Lord. I want to give my perspective on what he says. And y'all can take your own perspective, but what he says is actually true. It actually makes a lot of sense.
You're entering your adulthood, I believe, at a truly special moment in American history. I believe deep in my heart that it's actually going to be your generation that saves our country, but it wouldn't be the first time that that actually happened.
That is actually true, and it goes beyond the American Revolution. When you look even after, when hardship comes into our country, when you look at the Great Depression, the American Civil War, when you look at a lot of the hard times in America, and what he says later on actually makes a lot of sense. which we will get to.
That dates all the way back to 1776. I'm talking about our founding fathers, who were not much older than most of you in the audience today when they founded our nation. And though I'm talking about...
I don't know about what he... That one, I can't really, like, confirm that. It's a fact. However, a lot of the founding fathers were, like, 19 to 30 years old, 35. So they were like the young generation of their time. And now they're going to look at us and think different things. But that's pretty much how we as a younger generation, as a new generation, can fix the mistakes of the past and the old generations. Let's continue.
About our founding fathers, I'll actually start with a quote often attributed to the founder of Dubai. It goes like this.
Oh, Dubai. You know, one thing I like about Dubai, though, going a little bit off topic. One thing I like about Dubai is how, you know, there's like a zero tax for... They have great respect there for millionaires and other people in Dubai. I do like how they, like the all, how it's like the hub for millionaires. I do have respect for those people in a sense that, you know, they worked, you know, most of them, they worked hard all their lives. They did the right thing. And I wanted to just say that Dubai actually is like a dream when you're a millionaire to make it to Dubai, even for like one day. It's like the end goal that you're not planning on, but you end up achieving it. So just thought I'd throw it out there. Moving on.
My father rode a camel. I ride a Mercedes. My son rides a Land Rover. My grandson is going to ride a Land Rover. But my great-grandson is going to have to ride a camel again.
He also mentioned this later on. I relate to what he's saying because I'm going to give you some history, like for my family, for example. So for context, my grandfather was the one who lifted my mom's side out of the family out of poverty. I don't know much about before him, however, I wanted to explain what he's saying just from my perspective. My grandfather had a broke, you know, like not like a, I'm going to say like this. My grandfather got into stocks and that made him like the person that got out of poverty. However, I wanted to discuss what he's saying. And let's go back. What are you saying? Let's break it down piece by piece.
But my great-grandson is...
Wait a minute.
...is going to ride a Land Rover. My son rides a Land Rover. I ride a Mercedes. My father rode a camel. ...of Dubai. It goes like this. My father rode a camel.
My father, or in this case, my grandfather, rode a camel.
I ride a Mercedes.
And then... The next person rides a middle-class car.
My son rides a Land Rover.
My son, I'm kind of like his grandson. Get the point. The son after that rides a Land Rover or a higher middle-class car.
My grandson is going to ride a Land Rover.
And my grandson's going to ride a luxury motor vehicle.
But my great-grandson is going to have to ride a camel again.
And great-grandson is going to have to ride a camel again. That right there is the most important thing it says in the entire thing. It shows that, he'll go on to say this, hard times create strong men. Strong men create weak times. Weak times create strong. Yeah, and he'll go on to say that and you'll see like he's actually right, but I'm gonna leave this open ended. I want y'all to take this information and make your own interpretations with it. I'm not trying to push anything. I'm not trying to do an agenda. I'm trying to just give out some motivational advice and then analyze it afterwards.
Hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. He was the founder of Dubai, but he might as well have been talking to modern America and our own generation. When our nation was born in 1776, we were a nation of underdogs.
That is actually true. Back in the American Revolution, we were underdogs, and we somehow, we would later get support from France and I think Spain. Don't quote me on that. I'm not 100 on that. I think Spain, maybe. It was definitely France, so. Because, you know, France and England, they were fighting each other back then, and then France saw the opportunity. Moving on.
We were a nation of insurgents. Our founding fathers stood up to the most powerful empire in the world, declared their independence, and then somehow turned assertion into reality.
So, this is actual history. He's using figurative language to describe what it was like back then, and something that's also happening kind of now in our time. Essentially, he'll get into that. So basically, back then, England was the most powerful empire in the world. That's a fact. We were the underdogs going against that empire, and we won our independence. And here we are in America.
They were a band of rebels who defeated a reigning incumbent of their era, an incumbent that went on to become just another small nation on the other side of an ocean.
That's also, I want you all to take this information and come with your own opinions, your own ideas. However, that is, in my perspective, it is similar to what's happening now.
But eventually, the insurgent becomes the incumbent. The underdog becomes the favorite. And then the new incumbent starts to apologize for its own success instead of working even harder to create even more of it. And eventually, that incumbent is then unseated by a new insurgent born on the other side of a different ocean.
That was a lot, so I'm going to go back and analyze
incumbent.
That. I'm going to go back and analyze that bit by bit. See.
Reality. They were a band of rebels who defeated a reigning incumbent of their era. An incumbent.
Here we go. My God, I found it.
That went on to become just another small nation on the other side of an ocean. But eventually, the insurgent becomes the incumbent.
The insurgent becomes the incumbent. So, like, the reigning superpower becomes, like, its downfall begins, and it starts to get eaten up by its competition, starts to get beaten by its competition.
The underdog becomes the favorite.
And then the underdog, like, the competition, starts to become more favorable to people like, I mean, even in business, like investors, I mean, other people when... and favorability.
And then the new incumbent starts to apologize for its own success.
And then, so when the incumbent apologizes for his own success, in other words, he's saying he's apologizing for all the achievements he made and what it took to get there.
Instead of working even harder to create even more of it. And eventually...
Yeah, and then they start to apologize for how they got there instead of trying to create even more of it and become even more successful as a society, nation, business, company. And this can go into pretty much a lot of different aspects of life, too. Not just, like, world history, politics. Business is a popular one, too, when you look at what's happening with a lot of companies now, they're starting to get torn up by indie or like other international people, like anime starting to overtake Hollywood. You get the point.
And eventually that incumbent is then unseated by a new insurgent.
Yeah, it's and then eventually, and you see it throughout, I mean, you see it throughout history where the underdog becomes that favorite and becomes that person, thing, business, nation, movement that topples the old world, or like the old, or like movements from the past generation or the world before their own.
Born on the other side of a different ocean.
So after this video, this is from some speech he made. I want to also get into this. Looks to be the second part of the speech. I want to also get into that. I'll probably save that for next time. But I want to just stay my... I just want to say that a lot of... Like, it's like the old saying, no empire lasts forever. Every movement, every empire... And listen, you know what, I'm going to say it like this. And listen carefully to my generation, the next generation. Listen carefully. This is actually my warning to you as someone in your generation. America was based on the ideals of free speech. It wasn't always perfect. Now we are at a crossroads, and I know a lot of people in the audience will know what I'm talking about. We're going to have a choice, and I want everyone to make that choice wisely. And do not be afraid to make the right choice, so I can say. But it's like this, what he said here.
Easy time
for that.
But my great-grandson is going to have hard times again. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. And weak men create hard times.
So if you don't want to, these people, if our generation do not want to become weak men again, we must use these hard times to become, I'm going to let him say it for us.
A camel again. Hard times create strong men.
We must use these hard times to create strong people. That is the goal for our generation and the next generation afterwards. And I'm speaking mainly the Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Specifically Gen Z because I'm part of it. But Gen Alpha also. We are the next generation. And that means we must decide what mistakes to fix and how to keep moving forward and improve the world for the better. Because it's like this man said, eventually the insurgent becomes the incumbent, and they start to apologize for their own success instead of embracing their success and create even more of it. Eventually, that person from, it can be across the ocean, it can be, not ocean, it can be another business partner, another studio, upcoming studio, indie studio. It can be that coworker who always last line starts to get better at his job. Eventually, the lesson here is nothing lasts forever. However, as the next generation, we can do something about it. It is up to us to decide how the world continues to progress, what technologies are born, and what we do about it.
Our own generation. When our nation.
You know what? I'm going to actually play the second part of this thing. Was going to save it. However, we have 18 minutes and I don't know what other motivational really to talk about. So, yeah, we're going to. Okay, basically, we're going to talk about his next part of this speech. I'm going to let it play. I'm going to let it play. What I might do is let half of it play or a third of it play, talk about that, and then save the rest for the next time we, as a podcast, talk to each other. Let's see what he has to say.
But there was something in the water back then. Maybe it was the wine. Something in the culture that's different than what we have today. It was a culture that valued education. That value to autodidacts, people who taught themselves, exploration, a fundamental curiosity about how the world works, and an unyielding confidence that even if you weren't an expert in something, you could still figure it out with the right combination of self-education and curiosity.
Let's analyze that one. Let's let 26-second part of the clip.
Something in the water back then, maybe it was the wine, something in the culture. That's different than what we have today. It was a culture that...
Yes, back in the past, the culture was a lot different. The past is like... It's like when you compare Rome to Carthage. Two different cultures, two different times. Okay, that was not a good example. Okay, the Romans and... Romans and Genghis Khan. Let's just do that. The Mongols' time period was different and their culture was different. The Romans' time period and their culture was different. That's what's basically he is trying to say here in this part in the first 8 seconds. So let that repeat.
But there was, and maybe it was the wine, something in the culture that's different than what we have today. It was a culture that...
Yes, it was a culture, and he'll go on to say his spiel in the rest of the 20 seconds.
That's different than what we have today. It was a culture that valued education. That value to autodidacts, people who taught themselves, exploration, a fundamental curiosity about how the world works.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with him. We don't have a lot of that. I mean, we still do, but not like it was 50 years ago. We don't have as many people reading books every night. We don't have as many people because everyone's scrolling on TikTok. Everyone's doing the other stuff on the internet because the internet has pretty much taken over our daily part of a routine that would allow us to get educated through books and stuff. We lost interest in reading. That's why I'm starting to read myself to hopefully one day get rid of that bad habit in my routine of not being educated through books. I want to get rid of that. And I'm working hard diligently to create a routine where I do that. Let's continue.
And an unyielding confidence that even if you weren't an expert in something, you could still figure it out with the right combination of self-education and curiosity.
Yes. This is why some people say that you don't have to go to college, you don't have to be in college to be successful. I see what they're saying. And actually, that is true. You don't have to go to college to be successful. Look at Elon Musk and stuff. People like them, they are self-taught. They didn't go to college. Like people who don't go to college become successful. I actually have almost more respect for them than people who go to college to be successful because the journey is a lot more other than money. But when you look past money, the hardships that entrepreneurs have to do when they don't go to college is extraordinary. It's like you start from scratch and the only guide is a handbook that they buy. That's why I am blessed to go to college and actually have 95% of my money be paid through my parents' hard work through a prepaid plan, I still do pay for a fee for my classes. I'm also blessed to have earned a scholarship. I actually want to, we have 8 minutes. You know what? I'm going to give y'all a sneak peek of what we're going to talk about next time on the motivational. On the motivational part for next time. So I'm going to let the whole thing play. And I'm going to end it.
But there was something in the water back then. Maybe it was the wine. Something in the culture that's different than what we have today. It was a culture that valued education, that valued autodidacts, people who taught themselves, exploration, a fundamental curiosity about how the world works, and an unyielding confidence that even if you weren't an expert in something, you could still figure it out with the right combination of self-education and curiosity. Compared to nations like France and England, it's true that America was actually pretty provincial at the time. We were nothing more than a backwater cluster of small towns scattered along an eastern seaboard. Economically, militarily, geopolitically, it seemed that we were destined to be nothing more than a tiny footnote in global history. Yet the people who wrote those footnotes, they were deeply curious about the world they inhabited, about the history to which they contributed, and deeply confident in their ability to change every part of it for the better. So what's the message for us? I think we need to revive your generation. I would say our generations need to revive that special combination of curiosity and self-confidence. Yes, we want to be a country of people who tinker in their garages. We want people to write great essays in the evenings while working at an insurance company or a business during the day. We should expect more of one another as citizens. We should expect more of ourselves. We should expect more of our leaders. Back then, presidents who left the White House went on to study ancient works in Latin and Sanskrit. Today they sign Netflix deals and play a round of golf in Martha's Vineyard. That's easy to say today. How cool were our founding fathers, and then go back to the daily drudgery of our modern technocracy. But the question for you is, why can't we behave a little bit more like our founding fathers? Political conservatives like me like to talk a lot about staying true to the political and legal principles of the Constitution, and no doubt that's important. But as Americans, we should also be inspired to stay true to that founding culture of exploration and curiosity. The irony, thank you, I appreciate that. I think it's going to take, I'm here for a reason, I think it's going to take people like you, whose best days in life are still yet ahead, to see a nation whose best days are actually still ahead of us. And the irony is, it should be a lot easier for us to do this today than it was for our founders back then. For starters, the main language of scholarship back in 1776, it wasn't English. It was French and Latin. You had to wait weeks or even months to just get a physical copy of a book that you might have wanted to read. Today, everything's available to us in any language you want. You're two swipes away on your iPhone from any book you want to read or listen to on demand. The only thing stopping us is our own incuriosity, our own veneration of somebody else's expertise, and our own lack of self-confidence to build our own. You might think our founding fathers didn't have the time. They were too busy fighting this thing called the American Revolution and setting up a new country to afford the luxuries of intellectual curiosity. But actually, the opposite was true. We were never more curious than when we were fighting for our survival as a country. That special sauce that allowed America to succeed as an insurgent was that unmitigated curiosity and the totally unjustified confidence of our founding fathers. And it wasn't just a matter of self-indulgence. The reason our founding fathers were so curious about the world around them wasn't just to get drunk on it. It was because they strived to make America, their nation, a better nation. It wasn't idle interest that moved them. It was a desire to create a thriving country that would outlive them. And they made that country great.
Comrade. Before we wrap up, we wanted to remind our listeners to tune in every Friday at 12 to 1 p.m. We appreciate the time our audience spends listening to our podcast. Next week, we will discuss another topic of mine. And the topics we have previously discussed, we will elaborate on them. This is Logan Parham, Hawk Radio host from The Logan Parham Show, signing off.